that we will hear. He says, one, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. If you look at that in the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, just like as we are doing right now, we are seated at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, studying the word of God, getting to know his word, getting to know his understanding concerning our life. With God's word and his voice, then we will not be able to make so many mistakes. Even when we make mistakes, or we are about to make mistakes, he will always make a way of escape for us. Because there will always be a word that will guide us. His word will guide us. That scripture says that his word will continue to be a light unto our path. You know, when you are going, you need illumination. In this journey of life, we need illumination. We need direction. His word will continue to direct us. It will continue to guide us. And that is why it is very important. And he will always have mercy on us. Because even when we make mistakes, it's very easy for you to go back because you know your Father, because you know Jesus Christ, because your attention is continually on him. Do you hear him? That's the question you ask yourself tonight. Do I hear God? Do I listen to him? There are a lot of mistakes that we wouldn't have made if only we listened to him. Do you go to God in prayers and supplication like we are sometimes encouraged that we should come to for prayers, fasting, studying the word of God? This will help us. And what will this do? It will help us so that we'll be far away from evil. You know, I wrote here, I said, his instructions and commands will always do us good and not evil, because it's thought towards us. Bible says they are thought of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. You know, this is what we need in times like this. Yes, it is very glaring that, like they will say, the price of fuel had gone up. It is a known fact. Even a small baby now knows that fuel has gone up. Everybody knows that the price of food items had gone up. I've not been to the market in the last 2-3 weeks. And today when I had to just go there, and well, everything has gone up. But do you know what? The word of God will help us because we have his word in us. His word will teach us wisdom on how to continue in this journey of life. Why must we look at Jesus? Why? I think we need to ask ourselves, why do I need to look at Jesus? Do you know God the Father even called our attention to the fact that we should look unto Jesus? In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5, he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, hear him. God the Father expects us to hear his son, his only begotten son. So when we refuse to hear him, we are actually disobeying our Father God. We are rejecting the offer that Father God has given us, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by him. So it's very, very important that we accept his sonship, his lordship, because he's the firstborn among us. He is the one who has known the way. He has been the one who has gone through that journey that we are also treading now. In fact, he is the pioneer and the captain of our salvation. He was the first to run the race, and he finished strong because he came, though he was God. He thought it not robbery to be like God. Bible says he humbled himself even to the death on the cross of Calvary so that we can have life. That is our perfect example. He's our role model. He's our mentor. He's our teacher. And that is why it is worth looking unto him, steadfastly obeying and trusting him in all that we do. We must continually fix our gaze on him, lest we become weary. If you look at where we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 3, he said, if we shift our gaze from him, with everything that is surrounding us, there is tendency for us to become so wearied, to become fainting, to be exhausted, to lose heart. And the Bible says, if in the days of battle you lose heart, your strength is small. And so we have the strength of God, we have the enablement, by the fact that we continually look at our own Jesus, and he will continue to help us in Jesus' name. In fact, sometimes the world and even your fellow Christians may not understand what you are going through. They may not even be able to render the help that you are expecting. Even when they render this help, it will look as if nothing is being done. But do you know what? When we receive Christ, He is our very present help. He's our help in time past. He's our time in time of old. He's still our very, that is why the scriptures call Him the very present help. He's always available. And that is why it is expedient for us as Christians to always turn our eyes away from mortal men. Yes, the scriptures say, woe is that man who put his trust in the arm of flesh. For the arm of flesh will utterly fail us. It will surely fail us. But that song says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Hebrews chapter 4 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. For inasmuch as he has felt that pain before, he has felt that shame before, he has felt that being despised, he has been dishonored, he has been embarrassed, and so he can feel, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. That is what another translation says. So, we need to be strong and be courageous. We cannot afford to be afraid. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 7 to 8, it says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. You know, he was talking about King Hezekiah when they were challenged even by kings that gather around them. And then in verse 8, it says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with God is the Lord our God to help and to fight battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8, it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turned away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert and in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when it comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Yes, that is what God is saying concerning us today, that we should put our trust in him. You can only put your trust in someone that you know. Jesus Christ has passed through all. Another one says, Jesus paid it all. Everything that we have passed through, that we are passing through, that we will pass through, he has passed through them. So our confidence and our allegiance should always be to him. He is our strength. Man is limited, and so his help is also limited. Why? Because he's mortal and human, but our God is immortal. And I want us to pick some life experience from the scriptures. When we look at that man at the beautiful gate, the Bible testified concerning that man that he was always dropped at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, in the book of Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. And then Peter and John, that day they were just going, Bible testified that it was at the hour of prayer. And this man was always seated there. You know, Bible even testified that he was lame from birth. I don't know whether you have anything that is causing lameness in your circumstances. You know, when a man is lame, he's helpless. He depends on man for help. He depends on man for everything. He's incapacitated. He's disabled. They would have helped him maybe to take him into the temple. But as it is, he was an unclean man. So there was no how he could enter into the temple. So the best his friends and families and loved ones can do for him is to take him to the gates called Beautiful. And so he's always there, asking for alms. The only thing he can think about is to ask for, to beg for alms. And he just considered that that is the best he could get at that time. He was just satisfied with that condition. I don't know those things that is like bringing shame, that is bringing discouragement, that is making you to be helpless. That man was helpless. His situation, in fact, is hopeless. I don't know those things that have made you to be incapacitated, and it's like you cannot move from where you are. Tonight, God is available. Jesus is available. He's here to meet your need and to set the captives free. And as we are seated here, you can talk to God. Because personally, as an individual, I have areas of my life that I feel I am incapacitated. So all of us tonight, the Lord wants to set us free. The Lord wants to deliver us. That is why we are called children of God. There is a song that says, "Kaya yele riewa Jesu niarawa," so that the world can see the beauty and the glory of God in our lives. And the Lord will do us in the name of Jesus Christ. That fateful day, Peter and John were going to the temple. And I don't know whether they've been seeing him or they have not been seeing him. But this particular day, they told him, he was looking at them. He wanted something. He wanted alms. He never knew that his condition can change. And so they told him, "Look on us." And he gave them their attention. And if you remember, we said, for us to say we are looking unto Jesus, we must give Jesus attention. And so that day, he gave attention. And they told him, "Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what happened to him? The Bible said that he leaped, he jumped. And what happened at the end of the day? He was able to move around. He was able to go into the temples. He was able to get into the place where fellowshipping and worshiping of God is possible. I don't know whether sin has made you to be lame. That is making you that when you come to the presence of God, you cannot gain access to the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, you can, like that man, you can look up to Jesus. Like another one says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." That man cried unto God, and there was deliverance, and there was hope. And so shall be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, he said we were like them that dreamed dreams, and our mouths were filled with laughter. And that's exactly what will happen tonight, because our lives will not remain the same in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Look at that, another one, even Jesus in the boat and the storm. You know, Bible says that when they sent away the multitude, he took them into the ship. And when they started going, as they were going, Jesus Christ decided to go and sleep. While they were going, there was storm. I don't know those things. There were storms in our lives. Do you know that these people, the Bible says the followers of Jesus, they were following him. That means they had a relationship with him. They have personal relationship with him. Despite those relationships, storms still came. Storm came. Winds blew. It means that as children of God, as long as we shift our gaze from him, even while we are looking at him, storms will still be making noise around us. But all we need to do, our attention should continually be on him. I don't know what that storm is. Is it sickness? Is it barrenness? Is it diseases? Is it family issues? Is it businesses? Is it academic issue? I don't know what that thing. But tonight, I know that the Lord will calm that storm in the name of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He just spoke to the storm, and the storm ceased. And that is what he's going to do tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Every storm in our life, they will cease in Jesus' name. Look at that case of that man, Peter and Jesus Christ. When Jesus was walking on water, he says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said whether it is a ghost. And they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately told them, "Take courage. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, "Tell me to come to you on the water." And he told him, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, "Lord, save me." You see, the ways of our God is unsearchable. His works are mysterious. You can see Jesus walking on the lake. He was walking on the sea. He was doing the miraculous. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As long as we have confidence in him, he will do the impossible in our lives. He said, "With God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth." Yes, that is what the word of God says. We won't have to think like Peter. We won't have to think because we are getting distracted. We won't have to think because we are not having faith in God again. Peradventure, even if you are thinking, tonight, Jesus is here. Look up to him and call on him. As you call on him, you will be saved. He says in the book of Psalms, chapter 5, 34, verse 5, he says, "They look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." Tonight, if it takes all to pray, to cry, me, I know how to cry. Bible said they look unto him. They were lightened, and they were not ashamed. This poor man, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord saved him from out of his troubles. I know how to cry. I don't know about you. You know why I know how to cry? Because I'm crying to Jesus. Because I'm crying to my Father. I can be vulnerable in his presence. I can do what I like in his presence according to his will and purpose for my life. I cry a lot because I know. In fact, the truth is that if I come to church and the worship is going on and tears did not come out of my eyes, I just feel that I've not gotten there. I cry a lot. I cannot even count how many times in my life I've had to cry. You know, I listed some storms in life that will make you to go back to God and cry. Tonight, Jesus is here. You can cry to him. He understands. He understands the way. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. We can cry. We can weep. Is it over my son, David? There was a day I got home, Sunday afternoon. I cried from after service till we slept. Look, I can cry. But do you know what? Look at what that scripture says. The Bible says, this poor man, when you have gotten to the point that you know that you cannot do it on your own, please turn it to crying. You understand. Like I said when we started, even people around you may not understand. All of them were coming. Mommy, why are you crying? Even the boy that I was crying for, he did not understand. Come and eat. I do not feel like eating at that moment. I just felt that, look, Father, you must change the story. And the Lord changed the story and turned it to glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And so shall it be for us tonight. We will need to go to God and cry. Cry to God. Let the Lord change your situation. Let the Lord change your situation. And he will do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, look at that man in the book of John chapter 5. That man at the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says that man has been there for 38 years. Wow. If he got there at the age of 1, that means he will be 39. If he got there at the age of 10, that means he will be 48 years. If he got there at the age of 20, that means he will be 58 years. What a terrible state. And he was there, you know, trusting that a man will help him when the angel comes to turn the water and they will push it in. And we had a lot of people there. But that day, Jesus Christ came around. And when Jesus came, Jesus was beside him. And Jesus knew. He knew his condition. He knew he had been in that condition for 38 years. And he just asked a question. But the man cannot discern. And that is why when I started, I said, for you to say you are looking unto Jesus, you must have an understanding of who Jesus is. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, how do you know him? Do you know him? You cannot know him. And that is why the first way to get to God is to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. This man cannot discern. Jesus was asking him, do you want to be made whole? He says, I have no man. I have no man. No man to carry me. But do you know what? Jesus is here tonight and is asking you and me that question. Do you want to be made whole? We will answer him and we will be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at another one in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the account of David and Goliath. David, a small boy, and the Goliath. And what do we have in that place? It means that there are battles in life that you cannot conquer by yourself. Look at that David. He had a testimony. He has tasted, he has trusted. He had worked with God to understand that that uncircumcised Philistine is no match to what the Almighty God can do. Why? Because with his bare hands, he was killing lions. He was destroying bears in the field. He was a man who had had an experiential knowledge of who God is. And so it was very, very easy for him to tell them that, excuse me, what is happening around here? Ah, one man, he had the physique, he's a man of war, he has the equipment, he had everything. But Jesus Christ, but David, he knew that the lion of the tribe of Judah is with him. And so the Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? And so he was able to challenge man. You see, there are battles of life that could be beyond us. And if we use our human abilities in this situation, the children of Israel, they were looking at Goliath. You know, maybe you are looking at the challenges surrounding you. You are looking at the huge bills that you need to pay. You are looking at so many things around you that is making you to get distracted. I want to tell you tonight that you should look up to God. Is it Goliath you want to look at, or you want to look at the living God? David decided to look to God. He stood for God because he had a testimony of deliverance from God. He has fought lions, he has fought bear in the field while tending his father's flock. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? Do you have a testimony? If they ask you, how did you meet the Lord? Do you have something to say? Do you have something to say? Or I just followed them to church and I just joined the church. No, you must have a personal encounter with the Lord. You know, when Christ comes, will he be able to say, faithful servant, come into your rest? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Like I told us, there are battles in life. There are challenges that you cannot face. I remember sometimes when my husband was talking about where he came from, and one of our pastors came to our house. I said, why did you marry this brother, Seth? Actually, that is a big question. But do you know what? Like I said, as a Christian, you hear the word of your father. There is a way God speaks to you. I don't know. Do you hear God? Does God speak with you? I remember growing up at the age of 22. I just got to their fellowship that day. It was during this long ASU strike. And I joined one of my sisters to do fasting and prayer. You know, then we normally challenge ourselves onto good works. After 3 days out of 7 days, I decided that, you don't do. Let me just go and meet my brethren in town. And that was how I met my husband. And when I was going back to the campus then, you are here, God spoke to me and I had it. Don't you know that is your husband? I had to turn like this. Who is speaking to me? And I already know the way God speaks to me. And I want to talk to young people tonight. I want to talk to our young adults. I want to talk to our youth. You need to get to know how God speaks to you. Not that when something happened, you'll be calling, mommy, pray, oh. When we were growing, our mothers were giving us prayer points. That was the way we grew up. Our parents, we call out and say, be praying, yo. But today I'm seeing that is the reverse. And so God spoke to me, and I held on to the word. And events start to unfold to confirm what God has spoken concerning me and concerning him. Do you know when you know what God speaks about you, it will help you to be able to run this race of life. It will help you to find purpose. It will help you to find fulfillment in the name of Jesus Christ. Fine. When we started the thing, he said, you have to follow me to my people in the north. And then I had to travel from Ibadan to the north. Just a 23-year-old year. And when we came back, he said, now you have known my people. Will you still marry me? Wow. But I see something. When I got to the north, it was a mess. I mean, it was a mess. I've never been in that kind of environment before. Mud house with 7 children, and then daddy and mommy making 9. And then when I saw the father, I had this compassion. You know, it was almost like I was going for a mission walk. The whole of my head, from head to toe, mosquito. In fact, when I came back, till tomorrow, I don't know why I did not share it with anybody. I just accepted it. This is the will of God for my life. And I kept going. Then, when it was about time for our wedding, my mom was insisting, Ashore Yawo, I want to see it. I make sure that I did not cooperate with her. I kept dodging reasons why. Why? Because some of the clothes were my clothes that I was wearing before. I just packed them inside the box like that. At least he managed to buy a new box. So that one is very important. And then I put my old clothes and few clothes that I bought that I was going to use for my wedding. When I saw my sister-in-law, I had to open that box, pick out some of the clothes, sew for them, so that at least I can package them before my parents. I know if any of my family is hearing this tonight, they will be shocked because I've never shared this with any one of them. And so I packaged them. For my father-in-law, we had to quickly rush to town to go and get the dress that he will wear for that occasion, just for them to look at least presentable to my parents so that they will not disgrace us, you know? And then we continue the journey like that. We continue the journey like that because God is in it. That is why I am encouraging you today. Don't look at the things that are shining. Fix your gaze on Jesus. Our wedding will be 25 years. And I look back and I was like, those girls that I had to give clothes today, sometimes when I look at them, they look like ajebota. And they are almost always looking as if they have not even touched anything. But I still remember how they used to be then. In fact, I was opportune recently to decorate one of them, you know, in the Air Force when she got her promotion. It was a thing of joy for me that thank God that these children, God helped me, God strengthened me, God encouraged me so that I could at least help them to move up. And here we are today. And I also thank God before my parents-in-law died, we were able to erect a structure for them even before we built our own house here in Ibadan. I mean, they became the testimonies of people in their neighborhood. Everybody will say, if Solomon can go to school, even me, I will go. But you know, nobody really wants to bear this. But you see, the attention that we have is on Jesus. And that is why we are able to meet. You know, after meeting them, I realized that, look, we cannot do it on our own. And that is why we must make deliberate effort as Christians to know how God speaks to us. You know, I kept laying emphasis on this. How God speaks to you, what God is telling you, it will help you to find purpose, to find fulfillment in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God that I'm able to share this. The battle that was beyond us, the Lord solved the problem. The Lord helped us that poverty that was in our family, God made a way of exit for the entire family. God made it that nobody is suffering as they used to then. And then the question is, if I had backed out, of course, God will arrest another person. But I am joyous tonight that I don't know what you are to pass through in your family line. I don't know. Don't look at that man. And that is why, you know, we always say, marry your friend. I say, not only marry your friend, marry a friend of God. Marry a child of God. Because friendship will get to a point that you will not be able to continue. But you see, if you marry a friend of God, like Abraham, or you marry a man or woman after God's own heart, like David, you know what? The journey will be sweet. The journey will be easy. I look back and I was always asking, so it's already 25 years that I've married. I normally call him one name. And he said I should not call him like that again. Because that was the name my mother called him the first time she met him. But I thank God today, the story has changed. In conclusion tonight, there is a joy ahead of us. And every one of us that are seated here, we cannot afford to lose hope. We cannot afford to lose hope. We cannot afford to grow weary. And we cannot afford to get exhausted due to the challenges of life. Let us make up our minds to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. God bless you all, and have a wonderful night. Hallelujah.